1. In the book of Acts, chapter 1. Before we read the scriptures, I would like to just say that when you read or when you study the book of Acts, the book of Acts is what I call a history book. It does not record all the Acts of the Apostles, but it records the work of the Holy Spirit of God through and by His kind of church. That's what the book of Acts is all about. The Spirit of God working in and through the Lord's kind of church doing mission work. That's what it's about. It's about the Lord's kind of church doing mission work under the direction and by the authority. Well, let me put it this way. Under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God and by the authority of His kind of church. You can find it all the way through there. I don't have any problems with it whatsoever. Don't have any apologies to make. That the book of Acts simply records the work of the Holy Spirit of God working in and through His kind of church. And when you read it, you find that it's what they're doing. The churches are doing mission work, producing other New Testament missionary Baptist churches. But I want us to look this morning in the book of Acts, chapter 1, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 15. And I want to notice that Jesus, by the time we read these verses of Scripture, Jesus Christ has died, was buried, and on the third day rose again according to the Scriptures. And now He has ascended back into heaven to take His place at the right hand of God the Father. And we see the church in action. We see them in action now that He is gone, doing the things that He taught them they ought to be doing while He was here upon the earth. Beginning in verse 15. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. So the Apostle Peter calls this church into a business meeting. And he's going to lead them to do the business of the Lord as a church. But I want you to notice that as he leads them or calls them into the business meeting, that about what they're about to do, they find that they're going to do it because it's according to the Scriptures. What they're about to take care of as church business is what the Lord had already written in the Old Testament Scriptures that they were to do. All right, now listen to it. For he, Judas, was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Alcadama, or Alcadama, however you want to pronounce it. That is to say, the field of blood. For it is written, he's guiding them in this business, meaning according to the Scriptures. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric, or his office, or his position and in the church, let another take. Wherefore, of these men, which have companied with us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they, these 120 church members, they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. I want you to notice what happens now before they go any further. The next three words that follows. And they prayed. Won't be the first time I've ever preached this. And they prayed. Those are three important words, because they have to do with the first church that Jesus Christ ever had upon this earth. And yet I find that throughout the book of Acts, church after church, you find it written in the Word of God, and they prayed. If there's anything that this church had learned while the head was here upon the earth, they had learned to pray. And they learned to pray before they ever went any further in doing the work of the Lord as a church. All right, now listen to it, verse 24. And they prayed, and that's the title of our message. And they said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two Thou has chosen. That's the way business meetings and churches ought to be conducted. And they prayed and said, Lord, you show us what you have chosen. You show us which one you have chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Now listen to this. And they, and I take it as the whole church, they gave forth their lots, or we would say they voted. Each one of them voted. Each one of them gave forth their lots, plural. That means more than two. Two or more. They gave forth their lots, but listen to this. And the lot, praise God, folks, if you see it. It's not plural here. It's one. Here's the results of their praying. Here's the result of their praying according to the Word of God. And they prayed, and the lot, every vote, unanimously, fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. That's the result. I want us to see that the Bible says, and they prayed, and then see the result of their praying. Talking to God about the matter before they go any further in the work of the Lord. Well, you see, Jesus Christ Himself had taught them to pray. Remember one time, some of them came to Him while He was in prayer, and when He had ceased, they came and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Not just teach us what to say, but teach us to pray. That's what we need to do. We need to learn to pray. We need to learn to pray today as the Lord's churches and as the Lord's people about the things in our lives and the choices that are to be made and the decisions that we face from time to time. And church business ought to be prayed about, you see, before being conducted. You see, the Holy Spirit emphasizes in the book of Acts the value of prayer. There is power in prayer. Prayer is powerful, you see. Prayer is valuable. I wouldn't want to have to do without that, you see. But not only that, prayer makes a difference, doesn't it? Ask Brother Dennis Morgan. When he became sick and found out what was going to happen, Brother Dean Smith got on the email and told everybody, said, pray for him. Brother Dennis said, I know that made a difference. It does make a difference. It doesn't change God, but it makes a difference. And they prayed. In verse 13 of Acts chapter 1, the Bible says, when they were come in, after Jesus returned unto heaven, when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. They all were praying, folks. They were praying. And they prayed, and they prayed. And you find it all through the book of Acts, these three words. And they prayed. Look with me, if you will, in the book of Acts chapter 4. In the book of Acts chapter 4, we find the apostle Peter and John as they go out and they meet up with a man that is lame, and the Lord heals him. And they say that it's done in the name of Jesus Christ. And the religious world becomes inflamed. They are angry. They're upset. They despise the name of Jesus. And they despise those who work in the name of Jesus. And they call them together, Peter and John, those Baptist preachers as we call them today. They call them together and threaten them. Don't you dare preach or teach in this name again. Now listen to it. As in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, these religious leaders, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them, Peter and John, and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For or because we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Now listen, beginning in verse 23. And being let go, they, these two preachers, they went to their own company. Their own company was the church. They went to the church. Now listen, they went to the church and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they, the church, lifted up their voice. Now, I want to notice again that word voice is, they is plural. Voice, as far as I can see in the English language, is one, singular. The church prayed the same kind of prayer. They were all in agreement. Isn't that wonderful? That they all were thinking the same thing. And I'm like Brother Harvey, I kind of doubt that they all prayed at the same time, but as far as audibly, but they all prayed. They all prayed, is what I'm getting at. And God heard them as if it was one voice. You know why? They are one body. That's the way it ought to be in every New Testament Missionary Baptist church. Every member ought to be able to pray the same way and think the same thing as a body. You see. All right, now let's go on with it. Got to find my place here again now. But look with me now. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Now listen, they're praying together as a church. But they're going to pray, they're going to show you that they pray according to the Scriptures. Their prayer is going to be made based upon what they have read in the Word of God. Listen to it. Who by the mouth of Thy servant David has said, you've already said it, Lord, yourself. It did not surprise this church when this happened because they had read it in the Scripture. Thou hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against Thy holy child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. They said, Lord, You have the right to do anything You want to, and they're just doing what You had determined should be done. I love it. Listen to verse 29. Here it is. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Now listen to verse 31. And, there it is, when they, there it is, had prayed. And they prayed. And they prayed. Now listen to the result. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And they prayed. And great grace and great power come upon all the members of that church. What a power! What a valuable asset that the churches of Jesus Christ ought to be enjoying. And they pray. Look with me, if you will, in the book of Acts chapter 6. In the book of Acts chapter 6, and again, we find these same words, and they prayed, but I want you to see the results of this when they prayed. In Acts chapter 6, verse 1, the same church. Now listen. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, talking to the church. You look out among you, choose 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually. And I notice this. We will give ourselves, talking about the apostles and the leaders of that church, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And I'm thankful that the Spirit of God had this to say. Pray and then minister the Word of God. We'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. We'll never try to minister the Word of God until we've talked to God about it, until we have prayed. Listen again now in verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. Isn't that wonderful? Man, wouldn't we like to see that today? When the time comes time to do the business of the church, everybody would be happy to do the same thing. Amen. Happy to do it. Pleased to do it. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. Now listen to this. And, there it is, when they, there it is, had prayed, there it is, and they prayed. And they prayed. They laid their hands on them. Now listen to the result. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So you see the result of the fact that the Bible says, and they prayed, and then the multitude or the church began to multiply in number. And a great company of those religious but lost leaders were also saved by the grace of God. We need to learn to pray and to keep on praying And we need to learn to teach our churches to pray and to keep on praying, to look into the Word of God and find out what it is that we ought to pray for. And what we ought to be doing. I thought of the younger preachers, those who have just recently been called into the ministry. I thought of Brother Chris and Brother Markey and some of you other fellows who are just early in the ministry. And if I had anything to tell you this morning, it would simply be this. Learn to pray. Learn to pray. Learn to pray. And then teach the churches that God sends you to work with. Teach them to pray. I can remember the first New Testament Baptist church I ever pastored. Man, I wasn't there 2 weeks until I was already in trouble. Because you see, one of the members asked me, he said, Brother Hall says, if we call you to pastor this church, are you going to preach the Word of God to us and teach us even if it makes us mad? I said, yes, sir. I'll do that anywhere I go, the Lord willing. Man, they call me to preach. The next Sunday morning, I opened the Scriptures, and he was the Sunday school superintendent. I said, I want you to read this. I want you to read it in the book of Acts chapter 14. Let your women keep silence in the churches. He was Sunday school superintendent, and they were in the practice of asking the ladies to read the Sunday school lesson in the devotion. And so I said, now I want you to read this. And know God said it, and then you do what the Lord wants you to do. Okay. He gets up there and he says, folks, we're going to do something different today because the pastor told me we had to. That's not what I said. He said he doesn't want the ladies anymore reading the Scriptures in our services out loud. He said, so I told him that the men wouldn't do it. He told me to ask somebody. So he asked one of the deacons to do it. The deacon got his Bible, stood up and read. After the services were over, he called a meeting with the deacons in a room by themselves. I didn't even know he was back there. I was wondering where he was at and where the deacons were. And here they come at 2 weeks, folks. 2 weeks is when I was there. He comes running out of there and the deacon's running behind him. I stuck my hand out, shake his hand. He shakes my hand. He says, we need some new deacons. He'd already been back there conferring with them. And when they came out, I said, what happened? The deacon said, well, said he showed me these Scriptures you gave him and said, you guys read this, and this is what he told me to do. He says, what do you think about it? And they said, we told him we'd better do it because God said so. But the next business meeting, the first business meeting we ever had, didn't know anything about a business, never had conducted one before, but he makes a motion. I make a motion, we elect some new deacons. Somebody seconds it. He said, what'd you do, Brother Hall? Throw a fit? I said, no. I said, all in favor? They all raised their hands, voted for it. This fellow was influential. He said, what'd you do, Brother Hall? Went home and prayed. God, you know who I am? You know what I am? You know what I don't know? But I'm going to put it in your hands and I'm going to trust you to do that which is best for the church and to glorify your name. Next business meeting come around, first fellow hit the doors, that deacon. He said, Brother Hall, I've got a plan. I said, just be quiet. I don't want to hear your plan. I said, God has one. When it came time for me to preach, I preached on the qualifications of a deacon. And when I got through preaching, I said, before we go into the business meeting, I want Brother so-and-so to lead us in prayer. And he's the fellow that seconded the motion to elect deacons. He stands up and he says, God, he says, we're so thankful that you are God and that you showed us that we don't even have a man here qualified to be a deacon. That took care of that business. And they prayed. It works. It'll work. You don't have to fight. You don't have to put the gloves on. Just do it according to the Word of God.
Amen.
And they prayed. Never underestimate the power of prayer in your life or in the church's life. Look with me in the book of Acts chapter 13. In the book of Acts chapter 13. Been a little bit of controversy stirred up about these verses of Scripture in chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. I don't find anything controversial. Don't find anything wrong with it. I believe it is the Spirit of God directing the mission work of the church at Antioch according to the Word of God. And He's doing it through the church, not through a mission board or a board of directors in the church, not the pastor or pastors of the church, but the church itself. We'll see that as we go along. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger. And I don't know what you call that Niger, but I called it Niger because I used to work in Cairo, Illinois. So some fellas, they call that name something else, but I called it Niger in Cairo. It says, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate or set apart unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. I wish I had a lot of time to talk about that, but he was directing the church to do the kind of mission work that Jesus Christ had commissioned them to do as a church. But the Spirit of God was the director. You set apart unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. It wasn't the church that called them. It wasn't mama and daddy. It wasn't a board or anyone else. It was the Spirit of God Himself working in and through the church. All right, now listen in verse 3. And there it is. Had fasted, and there it is, prayed. And they prayed. And I certainly don't diminish the fact of the truth of fasting, folks. I believe fasting is scriptural. But we're talking about the subject, and they prayed. And they prayed. And laid their hands on them. They sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the Word of God. Did exactly as Jesus Christ had commissioned them to do as a New Testament church. Where did the church of Antioch come from? From the church of Jerusalem. Through the ministry of Barnabas, whom the church sent to Antioch. I don't have any problems with that. That's scriptural, you see. And so we find that the results of this is they went out preaching the Word of God. But they not only went out preaching the Word of God, but they organized New Testament missionary churches. Look with me in the book of Acts chapter 14. In the book of Acts chapter 14 and verse 23. Now here are the results of the church at Antioch. And they prayed. And then they sent them out after they had prayed. If it's worth doing, it's worth praying about before you do it. If it's worth doing, it's worth praying about first of all, you see. All right, now listen. In Acts chapter 14, verse 23. Now here's the result of that first missionary journey that they made out of the church at Antioch. Here it is. And, you see, Paul and Barnabas doing the same thing as the church did. Here's the missionaries, but they're doing the same thing the church would do. And when they, there it is, had ordained them elders in every church, more than one church being organized, and had prayed. And they prayed. With fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. When they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. Listen to this. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. They did not call the mission board of the church. They did not call those leaders into a meeting and rehearse unto them. They called the church. You see it? They gathered the church together and they rehearsed unto the church all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples. But there's the three words, and they prayed, and the results of it, New Testament churches being produced, being established and organized. And they prayed. It's important. God's people have always prayed. The Lord's churches have always prayed. But we ought to pray today as never before. Oh God, make our churches more missionary. Make those missionaries more missionaries. Give us more churches. Give us that which we stand in need of, that we might be faithful in the service of the King until He comes. And they prayed. Look with me in the book of Acts chapter 16. In the book of Acts chapter 16, you find Paul and Silas now as they go into Philippi doing mission work of the Lord. The result is that there was a New Testament Baptist church established in Philippi. But in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, we find that Paul and Silas gets into trouble. And all they're doing is the will of God. But that'll get you in trouble in this old world sometimes. It'll get you in trouble. But listen, they were thrown into jail after being scourged. They were thrown into jail in the darkest part and the deepest part of the jail, I imagine. But in verse 25, here it is. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, they, two of them, what did they do? And they prayed. And they prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Here's the results, folks. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The result, here Paul and Silas are in the jail. They have been abused and mistreated as God's men. And now they sang and they prayed and they prayed. And the result is, first of all, the prisoners heard it. The Word of God is not bound, folks. God did a mighty and wonderful thing. The place begins to shake, that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and pretty soon all the doors were open and all the prisoners were set free. No one went anywhere. But there was one prisoner that really was set free. That Philippian jailer. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his. Sounded to me like his family got saved. Straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. Man, you say, they had it tough, Brother Hall. They were suffering. Look at the results. Instead of wallowing around, having their pity party, feeling sorry for themselves because God had somehow put them in a terrible situation and causing them to suffer. Some of the others may have not been suffering at the time. But the result is, and they prayed. And they prayed, and souls were saved, and folks were rejoicing. Last of all, and I love this, and I hope that you can see it, in the book of Acts chapter 20, In the book of Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Ephesus. In Acts chapter 20, we'll begin reading in verse 32. But I want you to notice now, and they pray. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, Paul speaking to the church at Ephesus, saying, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Now listen in verse 36. "And," there it is, "when he," there it is, "had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed," but listen to this, "with them all." Isn't that wonderful? That all through the New Testament book of Acts, you find the Spirit of God working through His kind of church, from church to church, and the missionaries and the folks that worked with them. And one of the things that stands out, not only the preaching of the gospel, the organizing of the churches, but before any of this took place, the Bible says, "And they prayed. And then the work went forward." And they prayed. The Bible says they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. And they prayed. One of the greatest things that could ever come out of a meeting like this, or any other meeting at the Lord's kind of church, is that when it was over, someone would be able to say, "And they prayed." And they pray. May God help us. May it be said of us, "And they prayed." Have you prayed? Did you pray before you began to get ready for the services? Did you pray before you got here? Did you pray and talk to the Lord, "God, this is your meeting. This is your meeting. And I'm praying that you'll bless and have your way in each of our hearts and lives." We should have all had already been praying for the services. Not only for this one, but for every one of them. We began a long time ago praying for this meeting. But it should be said of God's people, "And they prayed." May God bless you. Thank you, Brother Titus and Church.